From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. And it's time for the Friday Reporter Roundtable, where we talk about stories making headlines in different parts of the 21st state. Today, we're focusing on Carbondale and Southern Illinois. Joining us now are two reporters with The Daily Egyptian. Enan Chediak is the photo editor there, and Dominique Martinez-Powell is the student managing editor. Enan, Dominique, welcome to The 21st Show.
Thank you for having us.
Hi, thank you.
So, Enan, I'm gonna start with you. And there were some major weather events that happened in Southern Illinois recently, starting with flooding in Vienna. Say more about that.
Yes. Yeah, so, a little over a week ago, the Midwest was hit with some storms and thunderstorms and some tornadoes. And Vienna was one area that was affected, particularly with flooding. And we went to Vienna, several of us from the Daily Egyptian, and covered that and talked to some of the people down there and got some photographs of the storm damage in the Vienna area. And it was an interesting experience because I've lived down here for 21 years and I haven't seen flooding like that, at least that I remember. And so it's it was quite a lot of flooding for the Southern Illinois area, and so it just was an interesting spot news story to go and cover and to see. But also it was important to show that these sorts of infrastructure things are happening. The area that we covered, for instance, was a parking lot that wasn't draining very well. And so we took photographs of that, and you could see some of the flooding that was in the Vianning area. And those photos are up on the Daily Egyptian website if people are interested and want to see them.
Yeah, I happened to be in the Metro East myself this past weekend, and there was, roads were passable and such, but boy, there was certainly a lot of water around there. Dominique, I understand there were also storms in Gorville, and there was a tornado there. What was the aftermath of that?
Yeah, so that was actually our first day of coverage. Me and Enan actually went out together on that, and he made some phone calls and heard that there was some damage in that area. So we drove down there to see what was going on, and we happened to pass, where we were driving past, I saw like a cabin that had like a tree completely over it with like the roof damage, and there were like a lot of service cars and just cars in the air. So it's like, hey, let's stop here and see what's going on. And the people that were damaged, what was the cabin again?
I don't remember the names of the cabins.
I can't either right now. I believe it was Cedar Rock Cabins.
Yes, that's
right. And they were really like open to talking with us, which was really great, despite like them having gone through like the last night of storms. I think at that point it wasn't classified as a tornado. And we found out, I think, a day later that it was. But I've covered a lot of tornado damage while working at the Daily Egyptian, so I kind of had an inkling of what had happened. And they mentioned like that they felt like this weird pressure when they went into the
storm shelter.
Their storm shelter, yeah. And so we talked to Sydney. She told us the story of how like she actually wasn't present during the storm. I believe her children and grandchildren were, and her husband, and I'm actually not sure if her husband was there, but she said that night like they had essentially gotten to that storm shelter, and that the storm shelter was built by her her deceased ex-husband like years and years and years before, and that she was just so grateful that he had even done that. And after listening to her story, Enid took a portrait, and I asked if we could see the storm shelter, which was like in her home. Like when we walked in, I'm not sure which one of her family members it was, but somebody was like gaming in a recliner, and it was on top of the opening to the storm shelter. And so they were really kind, opened it, let us in, chatted with us, and then we went to go see the cabins. And there were three of them, and I'm pretty sure two of them her ex-husband helped build with her son like 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. I can't exactly recall, but they showed us everything, and we stayed and took photos. And you know, it was heartbreaking to see, but they were really gracious despite that.
Yeah, interesting. I understand this was, Enan, a record, maybe not record-breaking, but record approaching amount of rainfall.
I don't remember the exact stats on it, but it certainly is the more rainfall than we've had in quite a while in the Southern Illinois area.
Interesting. Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about some of the political events that are also have been dominating the news. And you know, this translates to a local level. Congressman Mike Vost, a Republican who represents much of Southern Illinois, he hosted a telephone town hall, which is not an uncommon thing for lawmakers to do, especially in an environment where the in-person town halls can get a little rowdy. Tell us what happened during that event.
Yes, and so the telephone town halls is something that Vost has been doing for quite a while in the Southern Illinois area. People at the protests felt that they weren't getting their voices heard, and also some of them were having trouble connecting. I say reportedly were having trouble connecting to the telephone town hall meeting. Some of the people at the protest like had the town hall on their phone, and so I'm not entirely sure what the issues that some people were having or reported having were. But I think that the message, overall message that they were trying to get across was very clear. They were at Mike Boss' office in Murfreesboro at the front doors and protesting, and they were trying to essentially tell as many people as can be heard that they felt like Mike Boss wasn't representing their voices. And so it's certainly not an isolated event with these sorts of protests. The protests happen a lot in Southern Illinois, especially recently. But what made this unique was that it was a very specific topic about the telephone town halls and Mike Bost and the feeling of being underrepresented in the Carbondale in the Southern Illinois area.
Yeah, is this related to the nationwide hands-off protests that we saw this past week? And I understand there was one of those in Carbondale.
Not directly, no. The
Okay.
person who organized this event was also someone who was instrumental in organizing the hands-off protest in Carbondale. But other than that, no.
Okay, so let's move to that then, because again, this happened all over the country last weekend. You know, in some places there were hundreds of people, others there were thousands, if not tens of thousands. I think I saw a figure for Washington, D.C. that it was 100,000 people turned out. But how did that look in Carbondale?
Yes, in Carbondale it was there was obviously problems with rain in when they tried to do the protest, and there were still a lot of people who showed up and protested for a good portion of the day, even though that it was raining. And so I think that was kind of, you're always trying to find an angle of these stories to show like, okay, this is more the interesting part about it as reporters, but the fact that they were in the rain, there was even a person there with the sousaphone, playing the sousaphone in the rain during the hands-off protest, and I thought that was hilarious to see that photograph. But the whole topic of the protest is that they feel like certain government officials, namely Trump and Musk, are over-involved in the government, and they want their hands to be off of the government in certain ways. And so a lot of people in Carbondale shared that sentiment, and Judy Ashby, the person who organized the Boss protest, wasn't in town to organize this one in particular, but she's often the one who organizes these events. But so she wasn't someone I could talk to and like get her voice on like what how many people were there or those sorts of things. I still feel like this had that the same spirit as the national wave of hands-off protests and the topics that they felt were important.
That's interesting. People making their voices heard and their lower brass heard, I guess. All right, let me remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We are beginning our reporter roundtables where we talk with reporters about different stories happening in different parts of the state. Today we're focusing on Carbondale and speaking to reporters from the Daily Egyptian who have, as we've said before, have really stepped up in the absence of some of the more established news outlets basically falling on hard times in Southern Illinois. My guests for this part of the show are Dominique Martinez Powell, student managing editor at The Egyptian, and Enin Chediak, who's the photo editor at the paper. Dominique, you covered a local nonprofit that journeyed to Memphis, Tennessee, to explore places that are connected with the civil rights movement. What was the story there?
So Wednesday, March 12th, me and our editor-in-chief, Lila Gibbs, essentially got on a bus and followed the group Connect 360 as they went on this trip to essentially experienced some of the civil rights history in Memphis. We were actually initially sent by Swinford Media to go cover it, and we decided that, of course, we were gonna also write about it for our paper. And we went to a lot of historical sites. The first thing we did when we got there was we ate. I believe it was called The Four Way was the first restaurant that we went to. And there's like a lot of history there. Like there were like pictures of Martin Luther King on the wall. And it was essentially just us following these people, experiencing and learning about these things. That same day we went to the Stax Museum and learned about the like music history of Memphis, which is absolutely huge. And just, I believe we were there up until Friday. We came back Friday, March 14th.
Who goes on a trip like this? Are they students? Are they retired people? Are people interested in just learning? Yeah.
There were some students. A lot of them were people that were affiliated with Connect 360 in some way. Hmm. A large group of them, they were older individuals. They were all super kind. It was a lot of fun. They were very open to having us follow them and have cameras in their faces, which is always great for us. We, at the end of the trip, we asked a lot of them like what they learned from it. And one of the people, Nancy Maxwell, she is, I believe, the head of Carbondale United, which I believe works with Carbondale 360. So it was kind of like a group thing, but it was mostly Connect 360. And her, we asked like, what was the most impactful thing that you were bringing back from this trip? And when we went to the Civil Rights Museum, there was a woman named Jacqueline Smith who has been out there for, I can't remember exactly the dates, but it's about like 30 years. So she was actually out protesting, and everybody kind of caught a glimpse of her. Some people didn't. I got lost in the museum and actually caught wind of her, I think a bit more than everybody else, because I sat and listened to her for a minute. And she was essentially protesting the Civil Rights Museum because of like the people that own it. She used to live in the Lorraine Motel, and they essentially like picked her up by a chair and like moved her out when they decided that they were going to make it the museum. So she was kicked out of her home and has been protesting it since. So Nancy Maxwell had some really great things to say about it, about like all the work that everybody is doing, especially like for Martin Luther King and in respect to the work that he did. And she was very touched by Jacqueline's story, especially because she's a very like prominent activist out here in Carbondale. Mm. So I think that was one of the biggest things that I pulled from somebody else pulling from the trip. But sure. Everybody had their own experiences. It was a great time. Spent a lot of time with them on the bus, but you know, it's a good story.
Yeah. Enan, it's that time of year also, and this is always a terrifying story to me, but where snakes migrate across a road in the Shawnee National Forest. I understand, I've seen some of your photographs of that. Tell me, what's the story there?
Yes, so the snake migration at Shawnee National Forest at LaRue Road is unique ecologically just because of the bluffs and the swamps. Southern Illinois has a lot of bluffs and a lot of swamps, and they're juxtaposed, which is something that is very unique to the Southern Illinois area. It doesn't happen anywhere else. I'm not sure anywhere else. It doesn't happen very many other places in the United States. And that combination allows snakes to hibernate beneath the frost line in the rocks and the bluffs, and then come out in the spring and summer and go to the swamps where they find their food and then go back into the rocks. And so you'll see this mass migration of snakes from those bluffs across the road into the swamp on the other side. And this draws a lot of snake enthusiasts, which are very interesting to photograph. So me and another reporter went to the road with a snake enthusiast, John Palace, who's a consultant for Shawnee National Forest, kind of does some of their monitoring of the number of snakes, number of visitors, to help kind of protect the snakes and the road closure dates so that the snakes don't get run over. And we took photographs of him and then got interviews with him. And through that, we ended up meeting some people who traveled from Philadelphia to Snake Road and kind of got their story and why they were interested in snakes. And then
I'm looking at a photo right now where there's a man laying on the ground with a camera. Like, his name is Kyle Taylor, and this is your photo. Like, are you nervous? We only have about 30 seconds left, but are you nervous? Was he nervous? I would be freaking out if I were this close to a cottonmouth.
Not really, no. He wasn't really that scared, and I kind of got low and kind of lowered my camera and, like, shoved it forward, so it ended up working out fine. But he was very daring, much more daring than I was. He had, like, this flash hood, and apparently he'd done this for quite a while. And the funny thing about, well, this isn't funny, but the crazy thing about it is that he was, he had some kidney failure issues, and he was on dialysis. And so he had dialysis happening the very next day, and so he was that enthusiastic about it that he was willing to get on the ground and take photos of snakes.
Wow. Well, the world is a wild place with lots of mysterious people in it. Enan Chediak and Dominique Martinez Powell, thank you for being with us and sharing some of your reporting with us on the 21st show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, coming up after the break, we're going to be turning to politics. We'll hear about a corruption trial, another corruption trial taking place in Chicago this week. And we'll check in with our Washington correspondent, Linda Kenyon. This is the 21st show. Stay with us.